The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I want to make just one comment. Brother Martin and me asked Brother Case if he would like to have a stool ready here in case he would need to sit down, and he said, no, I could talk for an hour. As most of you know, the 24th day of this month, Brother Case will be 101 years old. And he is going to celebrate that birthday by preaching at the campus. And I'm sure that each and every one of us will want to attend that service. Brother Case.
Thank you. How nice to be with you. I love everyone. And I want you to know that I haven't any stones to throw at anybody. No, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. He has called me. My text will be this. Behold. That means get your eyes open. I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. I've now been in the ministry a long time. I was ordained on the 24th day of July. That's my birthday. Yes. I have something for you. The Lord has called me into the ministry. Now to be sure, to make you know that I'm not just boasting, I'll give you my experience about my call to the ministry. I was teaching school when I was a young man, about 17. And I came home one night, and my father came to me and he said, Oscar, when are you going to take up the ministry? I said, the ministry? Yeah. I said, Dad, the Lord God knows my name and address. If he wants me, he'll let me know. Well, he said, I received a testimony when you was a baby that you had preached the gospel. Well, I said, he still knows where I live. And sure, you know, I could see right in his face that he felt bad, and he just turned around and walked away. And I began to feel bad too, because I'd answered him in such a smart way. And, sir, well, I'll try to talk so you can all hear me anyway. The next day at my school, I told Mother before I went to school, I said, Mother, I'm going down to that reunion. The General Church reunion was to be held at Logan, and it was commencing that day. And sir, I said, I'm going down. Well, she said, what do you do about your school? I said, I'm going down Friday night, and I'll come back Sunday night. I won't miss any school. So when Friday night came, I told Mother that morning I'd go right from the schoolhouse down to the reunion. But before I left that schoolhouse, I went up there at that desk where I'd been teaching all day, and I just dropped down on my knees and I told the Lord that I was sorry the way I had answered my father when he came to me and asked me about my ministry. I said, if you want me in the ministry of this church, I want to know it. And I said, I want to know it in a way I won't have to guess at it. I sure would appreciate it if you'd tell me tomorrow morning at that big prayer meeting down there at the reunion through a man that I don't know, and that he'll speak in the gift of tongues and tell me in the interpretation that it's in answer to this prayer. Well, I got down there just about midnight, and sir, the next morning, my brother was there. I said, Hubert, I'm going to a prayer meeting this morning. He said, so am I. Well, I said, let's go together, and we did. We went over there to that prayer meeting, and there was about 1,500 in that meeting, and we came right up the center aisle just about halfway, and I said, get room right here, just for two. And we slipped in there and sat down. That meeting had progressed just about 15 minutes. They'd had a great season of prayer, just wonderful season of prayer. And the man in charge got up and he says, now let's hear your testimonies. Let's hear your testimonies. And there was an old man sitting right square behind me, and he got up and spoke in tongues. And he laid his hand on my head, on my shoulder. And when he gave the interpretation, he put his hand there again. And he said, yes, you're called to the ministry and called now. And this is an answer to that prayer that you offered at the schoolhouse last evening. He said, the church will soon call for you, and you'll be sent out in the missionary field and be instrumental in baptizing hundreds into the church. Well, that just turned me all over. And, sir, you know, at the close of the meeting, why, we turned around, and I introduced myself to that old fellow, and I said, what's your name and where do you live? He said his name is Rudd, and he lived at Dow City. And we was talking about the experience, and I saw a man coming up through the crowd just a pushing his way, just in an awful hurry. And he came right up to this man that spoke to me, and he said, you speak Hebrew? And he said, no. He said, that was the best Hebrew I've heard since I left the old country. And he said, that translation was verbatim. There wasn't a thing left out. Well, that gave me an answer to my prayer. Now, I'm not boasting. No, I don't want you to take it that way. I just give you that as a testimony that the Lord called me into the missionary field. In just a few weeks after that experience, I was ordained by W.W. Blair. He was one of the first presidents. He ordained me and he and J.W. White. And I was sent out in the missionary field and I given an appointment to Northern Nebraska District. I went there for 3 years, to the Northern Nebraska District. Well, I'm just telling you this as a testimony. And the Lord blessed my ministry right from the start. Yes, He did. I'm telling you this as a testimony to show you that the Lord was with me when I started in the missionary field. Yes, He was. I left my home, told my wife, I said, I'm going to leave this home without a cent of money in my pocket. Well, she says, how are you going? She said, it's 30 miles over there to Nebraska, from where we live. Well, I said, I can walk. And I did. I started a foot and alone. And I walked 9 miles. And I was going past an old widow's house, old Grandma Mann. Oh, she was a wonderful woman. And she saw me coming, and she came down to the road to meet me. And she said, God bless you, Oscar, you're on your mission, aren't you? I said, yes, I am, Grandma. She said, won't you come in and rest just a little bit? I said, well, I believe we will. And I went in, and we sat down out there on the porch, and we visited just a little bit, and I said, well, Grandma, I've got to be going. She says, wait just a minute. And she went in the house and got her purse, and she gave me 25 cents. That's just what I had to pay to get across the Missouri River on the ferry. Well, I got over there, and I had one of the finest services. That was my first series that I ever had. I preached for 3 weeks in a big hall, the Whitman Hall. It was the biggest hall in town, and seated about 400. And sir, I just had that hall just as full as it could stick. And people standing out couldn't get in, some of them. Well, I want to tell you this as a testimony. I preached for 3 weeks, and I had 12 names for baptism. And I said, we'll go down to the Golden Spring tomorrow at 2:30 and baptize. That was a beautiful place to baptize. And I took them down there, and I baptized those 12. And sir, there was one of those women that I baptized. She was a young woman, about 35, something like that. And I didn't know whether she was married or single, but she was married. And when she went home, her husband cussed her to everything he could. And he just wouldn't quit. Every time he was around her or with her, he cussed her. And she cried for 3 days. Yes. And he took sick. That man took sick. And I'm telling you, he got sick. Now, that's all. And they sent for the doctors. There was two doctors in town, and they couldn't tell what was the matter with him. And they got Dr. Evans from Omaha, 60 miles away, and he couldn't tell. And he said, we better get Talboy from Sioux City. And they got Talboy from Sioux City, and he gave it a big name. And he said, if you've got any financial matters to fix up, you better do it quick. Well, he said he did. He had it already done, but he said, I want to see that little preacher. And they sent for me. I went up there and sit down by the bed. And I says, Jack, what'd you want? Thank you. Oh, I thought that was a glass of water.
Brother Case, here's the water right here.
Oh, thank you. All right, thank you. I sit down by the bed and I said, Jack, what do you want? He says, I want you to forgive me. Forgive you? I didn't know you'd done anything against me. Well, he said, I said some awful bad things about you. Well, I said, don't tell me what they are. I'll forgive you. I don't care what you said. And he said, I said some awful bad things about my wife. Well, I says, you'll have to straighten that up with her. I don't have anything to do with that. He said he had. Well, I said, maybe you better talk to the Lord about it. And he said, I did. I said, what'd you tell him? He said, I told him if he'd help me out this once, I'd come into church and be a man the rest of my life. Well, I said, I don't know whether he will or not. He said, would you forgive me? I said, yes, I told you I'd forgive you. But he said, would you pray for me? Yes, I can pray for you. He said, would you administer to me? Yes, I can do that. When I administered to that fella, and sir, he, just as quick as I was through, he got right square up out of that bed, and he said, I'm just as well as I ever was in my life. But he never come in the church. Well, now, I just told you that to show you this as my testimony. He said, the Lord told me to go, and I did go, and he confirmed my ministry. Yes. Now I want you to know this. He said, behold, I will send my messenger before my face, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Yes, he's going to come. I'm testifying to you that I know what I'm talking about. Yes. I'll give you just a little experience I had when I was teaching school, just before I quit teaching. I was standing before a class one day, there were six or eight of them, and I was just laying the law down to them what they should eat and drink. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, listen, boy, don't tell them kids to do something that you won't do. That's been a challenge to me all my life. And I come to you with this commandment that he has given. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Everyone, yes, he has sent me that I might call the people, assist in calling the people to the great reunion. The Lord Jesus Christ said he would come again. He is going to come. Yes, I want to testify to you that I know what I'm talking about. Yes, I was in the state of Maine a few years ago, way up in the northeast corner of Maine. And the Lord spoke to me and told me to come home and tell the people to stand in holy places and get ready. And I came home. I started home that day. Yes. And I came home, and I've been telling the people ever since to stand in holy places and get ready. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean this. I mean this, that you, I'm preaching to myself as well as you, yes, that we must sanctify our homes and love each other and let the Spirit of the Lord reign with us and teach us the things of the kingdom, and that we must have our services. Yes, read His Word. Read the Word and pray together. And I tell you, if you don't do that, you better wake up. Yes, you better wake up and begin your life over again and do it right, that the Lord is going to come. He told me, yes, I've had a lot of evidence. I don't have time to tell you all my experiences. Oh, no. I just want to tell you that He told me that this was the gathering time, yes, and for the saints to get ready, to make their stand in holy places and get ready, yes. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, everyone, we must stand in holy places and get ready and pray together and talk together and love each other and love Him and serve Him with all our might, mind, and strength, that we may prepare ourselves for that great day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come. He's going to come. Yes, He's calling His people together. He's going to gather the saints and come home, and He's coming to Zion. Yes, we're going to have a Zion. I don't care. Yes, I do care, but it matters not, I'll say it that way. It matters not if you or someone says you can't do that. That's just silly to talk that way. The Lord hasn't told us to do a thing that we can't do. No, He hasn't. He's given me the testimony. I'll give you one. Yes, where my faith was tried. I will. I'd been in Nebraska for 3 years as a missionary, and they sent me to Eastern Iowa. And I was down in the Eastern Iowa district. That's 300 miles from my home where I lived then. I was down there in my mission, and my wife got sick one time and sent me a telegram to come home. And I went home. I had $6 in my pocket when I got home. The saints had given me a little money. I had $6 in my pocket when I got home, and she didn't have a cent. No, she didn't. She didn't have any money at all, and she was about out of food, and she was really sick. Yes. And I went downtown and I spent every cent of that money and bought food and stocked up her cupboard a little bit. I spent all that $6, every cent of it. Answer? The very day I got home, I spent all our money, yes. And I administered to her. I administered to her three times that afternoon. And sir, I couldn't see that she was any better. And when bedtime came, I said to my little girl, she was 5 years old, I said, "Sweetie, you go and get your nightie and put it on. It's time to go to bed." And she did. She went and got it and put it on, and she just ran right over there to the bed where her mother lay, and she said that little prayer we had taught her. And she finished by saying, "Please, Lord, my mama is sick, and I know you can heal her. Do it now." That's the way she finished her prayer. And my wife was healed instantly. She got right square up out of that bed, and she says, "Papa, I'm just as well as I ever was." And I said, well, that prayer was answered. Now, I want to say this. The next morning, the Spirit of the Lord said to me to go back, told me to go back to my mission. It was 300 miles. And I said to my wife, I said, "Sweetheart, you get my shirts ready. I'm going back to my mission tomorrow morning." Well, she says, "How are you going?" I said, "I'm going on the train." "You can't get on that train without money," she said. "You haven't got any money?" I said, "No." "Well, I'm going to get on that train if you push me off." She says, "Don't you get on that train without money." And I said, "Well, I'm going to get on that train." And sir, the next morning, the train was to be in at 9:30. And at 9 o'clock, we was about 2.5 blocks from the depot. At 9 o'clock, I kissed her goodbye and loved her, and she cried, and so did I. And she said, "Don't you get on that train without money." And I went down there, and that train come right square in on time, and I just grabbed my grips, and I went, and I got right to that train. Just the next step I'd have been on, and there was a woman behind me. She tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Brother Case, are you going to your mission?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Something tells me you haven't got money enough." I said, "Sure told you right that time." And she opened her purse and gave me a $5 bill. And I paid the conductor $4.85 for my ticket. Now, I just told you that to show you that my faith was being tried. Yes. And I said, "I'm a goin' if I have to walk. I'm gonna get on that train if he puts me off." That's what I said, and I did. I didn't have to get off. But I just told you that now as a testimony. That testimony was just as good as the one that I had when I was baptized. When I was baptized on the 17th day of October 1889, I was baptized in the Jordan. I don't mean that Jordan in Palestine. There's a little Jordan in western Iowa, and that's where I was baptized. I was baptized on the 17th day of October 1889. Now, and the Lord gave to me a testimony when I went home. I went down home, and we had our lunch, and I said, "Mother, I'm going to the woods." And I went way down there in the timber south of the house, and oh, I found the prettiest place, just an awful pretty little place, and I just dropped right down on my knees there. And I told the Lord that I said, I think I've done the right thing. I think I've done the right thing in coming into the church. But I want to know, I want a testimony that I can see and hear. I said, I sure would appreciate it if you'd give me a testimony. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed, and pretty soon the Spirit of the Lord rested on me, and I jumped right square up off of my knees, and I got on my feet, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, the church with which you have united this day is the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you are faithful, you'll be instrumental in baptizing hundreds into the church. And I've tried to be faithful, and I've baptized hundreds into the church. Now, I want to say, I've come to you. You, and you, and you. I'm preaching to everyone. Yes, I've come here today to tell you something about what to do. Yes, I have. But I've been giving you this testimony to show you that I wasn't just called for nothing. I wasn't called. I didn't go without without knowing anything what to do. I didn't go out in the missionary field on my own. No, he told me to go, and I did. Yes. Now I'm going to say to you, I've come to you. I've been in the ministry for a long time. I've baptized hundreds into the church, and the Lord has given to them the gifts and blessings of the Spirit. Yes. I'll tell you one. The first series that I had in Eastern Iowa, I went down there. I didn't know a soul in that district when they sent me there. I didn't know one. And I went down there. I got a man's name. I read it in the Herald. And I got his name, and I wrote him a letter and asked him if he'd meet me at the train. He wrote right back, said, "Come on, I'll meet you." And he did. He met me at the train and took me out to his home, and we had lunch, and he said, "Let's go and see the church." I said, "All right." We got in the car and we drove out there just a little ways in the country, and that was the smallest church I ever saw in my life. Yes, sir, it was. It was the smallest church I ever saw. I said, "John, I don't want to preach in that little church." He says, "Oh, you're better than we are." "No," I said, "that isn't it." I said, "I want to go downtown where the people are." "Why," he said, "we've tried to open up the work in Fulton for 50 years, and we haven't baptized a soul." I said, "You tell me the most prejudiced man in the town of Fulton, and I'll baptize him before I leave here." He says, "You can't do that." I says, "Give me his name." And he said, "Well, the man to the woman." I said, "I'll baptize her." And he says, "Oh, no, you won't." So the next morning, I said, John, you stay at home. I'm going to walk downtown. It's a mile and a half. I'm going to walk downtown and nose around a little bit and see what I can find. And I walked down there, and I inquired where that woman lived. But I didn't go to her home. I went up the street and found out where she lived. And, oh, she had the nicest little home, just a dandy. And right across the street from her house was a vacant lot. Oh, it was the prettiest place. And I said, I'm going to get the district tent and put it up there, and I can preach loud enough for that woman to hear it. And sure, I did. I got the district tent. I phoned the man that had it and asked him to come, that if he'd bring it over and help me to set it up tomorrow. And yes, 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 he says, I'll help you. And he did. And when I went back to my boarding place, to John Heide's, where I was boarding, I told him what I'd done. And he said, oh, Oscar, that was mean. I said, no, that wasn't mean. Yes, it is. He said, that woman will just roar. He said, she's mean. I said, well, I didn't go to see her. I said, I'm going to set that tent up there, and I can preach loud enough for her to hear it. And sure, I did. I put that tent up, and I left the walls down just a little bit on that side so I could stand in the ministry and see her stand in my at the pulpit and see her house. And sure, I did. And the very first night of that meeting, why, oh, she had a pretty light. I preached about 5 minutes and her light went out. And sir, I thought maybe she'd left home, but she didn't. She went to bed. She went to bed and plugged up her ears so she couldn't hear. When she thought I was through, she took those plugs out of her ears and she said she heard the sweetest thing she ever heard in her life. And I don't know what it was. She didn't tell me. Well, she did tell me, but I forgot. I don't know what it was. Anyway, the next night, she sat out on the porch. And the next night, she had a dream. She dreamed that she went over there to that tent, and she said there were 17 chairs reserved in the front row, and there was 14 of them filled, and this was her dream. And she said there were three women came in the tent dressed in white, and I was sitting at the organ playing, and she said I jumped up off of that stool, and I said to them, here's your seat right here. And they did. And they filled those three chairs. And she had that dream. And she came over and asked me if I could interpret dreams. And I said, well, Grandma, I don't pose as an interpreter, but if you'd had a dream, I'd like to hear it. And she says, don't you tell me I'm coming in that old church. I'm not. Well, I said, let's hear the dream. And she told me. I said, I have the interpretation. She says, don't you tell me I'm coming in that old church. I'm not. Well, I said, you're going to be mixed up in it a little bit some way. And so she... I preached for 3 weeks, and I had 16 names for baptism. And, sir, I told them we'll go down to the Cedar River and baptize tomorrow at 2:30, and we did. I baptized those 16, and sir, I stood in the edge of the water. I says, there's just one more here that should accept this gospel today. You reject this call and it might be a little late for you. The Spirit of the Lord rested on that old woman just in great power, and she just jumped right up out of her seat, and she came down there and asked me if I'd baptize her, and I said I'd be delighted to baptize you, and I did. And that woman turned out, she was a wonderful member, and she done a wonderful work. Yes, she did. I told you that now as a testimony that the Lord was with me in my ministry, and I was trying to do His will and to do the way that He would like to have me do. Yes, and sir, I did. I want you to know that the Lord preserved my ministry, and I baptized those people, and the greatest series that I ever had, I had the next year, the largest series that I ever had in my life. I had in the next year, I took my family with me, and I camped and used the district tent. Yes, and I set it up there where there wasn't a Latter-day Saint living, and we preached. I preached for 3 months, every night. Now that's hard to believe, but I did. I preached every night for 3 months, and I just baptized people all summer. Yes, I did. That was the largest series that I ever had. And the Lord, long about the 1st of August, there was an old infidel that lived there, came down to my tent one Sunday afternoon, and he walked up and he said, "Well, Case, it's getting pretty dry." Oh, it was just awful dry. And the corn was burning bad. He says, "Why don't you pray for rain?" I says, "Well, Carl, why don't you do that? You've got the corn. I haven't got no corn." He had 75 acres of corn. And he says, "Well, he don't pay attention to me when I talk to him." Well, I said, "I will pray for rain." And you know, that night, that evening, oh, I had a big crowd. There's more than 1,000 there, and I got up there before that meeting, and when I offered that opening prayer, I closed that prayer by just raising my hands. I says, "Please, Lord, send rain on this thirsty ground and bless this people. Send rain. They've been coming here for weeks and weeks. Send rain and bless this people." Just as clear, there was no clouds to be seen when I offered that prayer. But when that meeting was out, why, I was out there as long as anybody left, and when the last of them went, I went to my tent, and I got right almost to my tent door, and I heard it thunder over in the northwest. And I went in the tent, and I said to my wife, I said, "Sweetheart, it's gonna rain just as sure as the world." And she said, "You think so?" I said, "Yes, I heard it thunder." And in about 15 minutes, those clouds came up, oh, just so sweet and easy. I never saw anything prettier in my life. Those clouds came up and settled over and rained all night. It rained all night. I never saw a prettier rain. And the next morning I went down to the store. It was about 50 yards. I went down to the store to get something for breakfast. And I was there about 2 or 3 minutes, and that old fellow walked in. That old infidel walked in. And I said, "Good morning, Carl. Did it rain last night?" And he said, "Well, it just happened that way." I said, "Yes, it did. But I wonder who made it happen." He said, "Well, Case," he said, "I'll have to say your prayer was answered." I said, "Thank you, Carl. Thank you." Now, I told you that for this reason. You may think that I am boasting. No, I am not. I gave you those testimonies to show you that the Lord was confirming my ministry. Yes, He has. He's confirmed my ministry all the way through. Yes, I've been now a minister for about 77 or 8 years. I was ordained on the 24th of July, 1924. And now I'm going to tell you, I want to give you this. I'm standing before you as a witness. I'm standing before you as a missionary. I'm standing before you with a testimony. And I'm telling you the truth. I am. And I'm telling you that when the Lord spoke to me when I was in the state of Maine a few years ago, the Lord spoke to me and told me to come home and tell the saints to stand in holy places and get ready. I'm preaching to you this day and giving you this testimony for this reason, that I want you, and you, every one of you, I want you to get ready and make your homes, sanctify your homes by service. Yes, call your family together and sit down in the morning and read the scripture a little bit and have your prayers together. Yes, why, I've had family prayer all my life, all my married life, yes. And my father and mother had family prayer in their home. And my mother had 9 children. And I'll tell you right now, we had family prayer every night. And we made that old home ring with the songs of Zion. Yes, and I'm warning you. I'm coming to you with a testimony that the Lord wants you, and you, and you, and you, and you. I'm preaching to myself just what I am to you. I told you about that when I was teaching school and standing before that class one day, the Lord spoke to me and He said, "Listen, boy, don't tell them kids to do something that you won't do. I'm not telling you to do something that I wouldn't do." Yes, we have tried to fortify our home. We have our services every day. Yes, we do. And I'm not telling you to do something that I wouldn't do. I'm asking you. The Lord is going to come soon. Yes, I had a testimony of this great financial crash that's coming. Yes, there's going to be a financial crash that will just put everybody on their knees. Yes, sir. And they'll be running mad for food. Yes. And for the things that they need. There's going to be a great financial crash. And I want you. Yes, I'm telling you, giving you this sermon. And I want you to make your preparation for it. And make your home. He told me to tell the saints to stand in holy places and get ready. I want you to make yourself ready. Yes, get together in your home and pray together. Yes, he wants you, and you, and you. I am preaching to myself just as well as I am to you. Yes, I'm not asking you to do something that I wouldn't do. No, I want you to know that this gospel is true. Yes, I've been giving to you these testimonies to show you that the Lord has answered my prayers. Yes, I'll just give you one more. Would you like to hear it? I'll give you one more testimony. There was a man sent to the Veterans Hospital over here in Kansas City. He had cancer from head to foot. Had cancer on his brain, cancer in his mouth, and in all the organs of his body, clear down into his feet. They called 10 doctors. They called 10 doctors in council over him. And they all decided he'd have to die. And Sister Beeman was there, and she called me, and she asked me if I had come over and administer to that man. I said, well, yes. She says, I'll come and get you, and she did. If you want to know when it was a year ago, the 6th of last December, that's when it was, she came and got me, took me over there, and I administered to that fellow. That was on Monday, and she came back Wednesday and asked me to come again, and I went Wednesday and administered to him. And on Saturday, the same week, Saturday, she called me up and asked me if I wouldn't like to come over and see how that man was getting along. I said, yes, I would. She says, I'll come and get you. And she did, on Saturday. And she took me over there, and just as we walked into his room, he said, oh, Brother Case, I got the good news. I said, you did? Yes. What was it? They was in here just a little bit ago and told me I was all right, I could go home. Now, that was a wonderful testimony. It was. That man was healed of the worst cancer condition that I ever saw in my life. Yes, he was. I could tell you hundreds of testimonies. Yes, I could. I don't want to wear you out. No. I want you to know this, that I'm not just preaching just for fun. No, I'm not preaching for money. No, I'm not. I left my home without a cent of money in my pocket. And I've been preaching for 76 years in the mission field. And I want you to know this, that I'm not preaching for money. No. The Lord has blessed me and given me testimonies along the way When I came to Zion, I'll just tell you one and then I'm through. When I got permission from the presidency and the bishopric to come to Zion, I lived in Spokane, Washington. They said, come on. And I thought I needed $50,000 to come to Zion. And the Lord took it all away from me. I had 3 accidents and I lost everything. And I said, well, I'm a going if I have to walk. Yes. And sir, I went to work and I earned $30. And I bought an old Studebaker car for $30. And sir, I needed, and I got $30, and I worked a little more and got $30 in money. And I said, I'm a going if I have to walk. And I left Spokane, Washington, 1,800 miles from here. I left Spokane, Washington with $30 in money and with that old Studebaker car that I gave $30 for. We got out there in eastern Montana and run out of money. And I run out of food. I prayed and asked the Lord to help me, and he did. I'm telling this very briefly. Yes, he helped me. And I earned, I went to work and I earned $6 the first day, and I earned $20 the second day. And then we came on through. We came on through. And we got to my father's house in Washington, in eastern Nebraska, and that old Studebaker car was just about played out. And a man living there named Orrin Butts fixed up an old Model T Ford and gave it to me. Yes, he did. And we came on down here, and they wanted me to stop at Richmond to help out in the church there. And I stopped there. I drove in the little town of Richmond with that little Ford car, and I didn't know a soul, not even one. And I stopped in front of a grocery store there, and we just stopped there and sat in our car a little bit, and I told the Lord if he'd help me now, I'd do my best to bless the church in Zion. And I had 75 cents in money. And sir, Brother Heyman came along. And he said, Brother Case, you can go to work for me right here in this store. Well, I said, I haven't got any money. I've only got 75 cents. And he said, well, you can live right in our home with us until you earn some. I said, all right, and we did. We lived in his home for 3 weeks. And the man came in the store one day, and he was talking to one of the clerks right there, right close to me. He said, I got 20 acres of land out there I'd like to give somebody. I said, hey there, you don't look any further, I'll take that. And he said, I meant I'd sell it so cheap that you think it would give to you. Well, I said, that's a horse of another color. And he said, I got a contract on the land to pay for it, and I'll give you the contract. And I said, let's go out and look at it. And we went out there only a mile and a half, and I bought that. I bought that place, and I went, it was a rock contract on the place, and I took charge of that big bunch of men that was working there, 75 of them, and I bought that job, and I went into the rock business, and the Lord helped me right away. And I just earned money, piled it up, and I got enough to come to Zion. And so I came down here. I have a lot of testimony that I'd like to tell you, but I want to say this in conclusion. I want to say to you that I love the saints, and I want you to know that I'll do anything I can. I'll do everything I can to help you, and I'll help everyone that I can. Everyone that I can. I'm willing to do all that I can do. Yes. And I want you to know this in conclusion, that I've told you the truth. Yes, I have. I haven't patched up a lot of lies to tell you. I don't have to do that. The Lord has given me testimonies, hundreds of testimonies all along the way, and I've baptized many hundreds into the church, and I'm not boasting either. I'm willing to do all I can to help you. May God bless you is my prayer.